Welcome to Faith and Victory Church. Faith and Victory Church is an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. We welcome all who love to worship God and those who wish to deepen their relationship with Him. Pastors Matt and Crystal Krachunas are inviting you to come worship with them and the congregation of Faith and Victory Church this Sunday. To find out more about Faith and Victory Church, check out our website, www.faithandvictory.com. You will find that there is something for everyone at Faith and Victory Church. Now join us for the Spirit-filled message.
So I'm a guy that, as best as I can, I try to time things perfectly. When I go and drive somewhere, I try to plan out right turns to make sure that I'm not crossing over traffic, and I want to get places on time. And if I don't get somewhere at the right time, or if I don't do things in a timely fashion, I'm really hard on myself. Does anybody else identify with that? Yeah, all you people that are late are like, no, I'm fine. Whenever I show up, it's fine with me. It's one of the reasons why I don't like cooking, because it is an amazing task to have five different things that all finish at the same time. I'm much more linear in my thinking, where I'm like, well, you just make the beans now and let them sit for an hour and you move on to the next thing. So timeliness is an important thing. Well, this morning we're going to be looking in John chapter 7. We'll be talking about the timeliness of Jesus and how Jesus is moving into a new phase in his ministry. And timing is really important with God, and it's really important when it comes to the life of Jesus. And if we look at the life of Jesus, we can really gain some insights into what we can do to learn more about God's perfect timing. Amen? So turn with me to John chapter 7, and we're going to actually, interestingly enough, we're going to plow through about 13 verses this morning. I know. Well, this whole thing, it's just one story. I tried to break it up, but this is just how it is. John chapter 7, verse 1, it says, "After this, Jesus went around in Galilee, purposely staying away from Judea, because the Jews were there waiting to take his life. But when the Jewish Feast of the Tabernacles was near, Jewish Feast of Tabernacles was near, Jesus' brother said to him, 'You ought to leave here and go to Judea so that your disciples may see the miracles that you do. No one wants to become a public figure, acts in secret. Since you're doing these things, show yourself to the world.' For even his own brothers did not believe in him. Therefore, Jesus told him, 'The right time for me has not yet come. For you, any time is right. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify that what it does is evil. You go to the feast. I'm not yet going up to this feast, because for me, the right time has not yet come.' Having said this, he stayed in Galilee. However, after his brothers had left for the feast, he went also, not publicly, but in secret. Now at the feast, the Jews were watching for him and asking, 'Where is that man?' Among the crowds, there was a widespread whispering about him. Some said, 'He is a good man.' Others replied, 'No, he deceives the people.' But no one would say anything publicly about him for fear of the Jews." The title of today's message, I just titled it God's Perfect Timing, because I believe that God has perfect timing. And if you've been living on God's earth long enough, you know that it is a hard thing to try to figure out God's timing, isn't it? If you're trying to make a decision, if you're trying to move in a certain direction, trying to figure out whether should you move with it or not move with it, trying to figure out what God wants to do with it, is sometimes hard to understand. But today I want to preach to you God's perfect timing. So what does this verse say? Well, Jesus was avoiding Judea because he knew that the Jewish leaders were out to kill him. I don't know about you. Seems pretty easy to understand, right? Someone's out to kill you, you just kind of avoid that place. Somebody says, hey, they're going to kill you out in Federal Way. Stay away from Federal Way. No offense to anybody who lives in Federal Way. Jesus' brothers tell Jesus that the Feast of Tabernacles would be a great time to push forward for his kingly agenda. So they're standing there saying, hey, go down there and it'll be public and you can do the big show. And they tell him to quit being so secretive about what he's doing and go out there and put himself out there. And Jesus tells his brothers, he says, listen, I'm not going there. It's not my time. You're part of the world. They love you, but I'm not. So they hate me and I'm not going down there. But what's interesting about this story is that Jesus secretly goes anyway. And I was arguing with Crystal about this because she said, it's almost deceptive a little bit. And she said, well, not really, because he said, I'm not going up there yet. But Jesus kind of leads his brothers to believe something that's not true. So he says, hey, I'm not going to this festival. And then they go, and then he goes through there secretly. And then the crowd whispers about Jesus. But they don't really say anything publicly about him because they fear the Jewish leaders. So what does it mean? Let's talk for a minute about this Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles is this thing in Jewish history where they all get together and they build tents. And in these tents, they hang out. And they're probably watching TV or something. And come on, man. What have I told you guys? If I have remotely funny jokes, you have to laugh because they don't come very often. And so they hang out in these temporary tents in there to signify how Israel was in the desert. And so they go there and they celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles because they're waiting for a permanent dwelling place of God. And so they live in an imperfect dwelling place for a little while. And so as we're moving into John chapter 7, you've got to understand that the curve of the whole entire book of John is changing. And that in this part of the book of John, Jesus is going to experience some serious opposition. He's only experienced some of it up to this point, but now it is really people are going to start coming against Jesus. Because the truth is that not everybody liked what Jesus was doing. They didn't like how he was speaking or the miracles that he was taking part in. And the truth is, as it says in here, they wanted to kill him. They wanted to kill him so bad because they were so worried about the things that he was doing. They were upset because he was raising a ruckus. He was upset because all these Jewish people started following him. The Romans wanted him dead because they didn't want the Jews to revolt. They're very concerned because the way that Israel is working at this time is that they're occupied by the Romans. The Romans kind of let the Jewish people do what they want, and so they like to kind of control them. And so the Romans are like, man, if this guy raises a revolt against Rome, which was their greatest concern, they're like, we're going to be in trouble because they're outnumbered. So they say, let's kill him. And the Jewish people, they wanted to kill him because, well, he wasn't sticking with Jewish law. He wasn't sticking with what the Jews wanted for Judaism either. Because he's like, hey, new thing, a New Testament, all these other things. They're like, kill that guy. So Jesus knew he was going to die. It was in the plan all along. The plan of God in salvation was always that Jesus was going to die and that he was going to go to the cross. And so Jesus knew that he had to die, but he didn't want to die at the wrong place at the wrong time. So some of you might say, as I'm reading this, they say, well, I don't understand. If Jesus came to die, does it really matter when he died? Does it matter the place that he died? And the truth is, it does. With God, his timing is perfect. There was a specific time that Jesus was going to die because there was more of his ministry that he had to accomplish. There was more things that he had to say, more places that he had to go. And in this story, we're about 6 months from where Jesus is going to die. And it couldn't be during the Feast of Tabernacles. It doesn't work with it for the whole entire God's plan of salvation. It had to be during Passover. And so Jesus is waiting for Passover to come so that he can die during that time. Because if you understand Passover and atonement and God taking care of all the sin of the world, it had to happen during Passover. Now, Jesus is smart. Did you know this?
Yeah.
All right, good. He knows what's going on and he knows what needs to happen in his life for everything else that needs to happen to happen. Understand this. God's timing is always perfect. Always. Some people say, well, God is late or God is slack or God isn't going to show up in time. Do you realize that when God has withheld something and then he delivers something, it is always God's perfect timing? The problem is never God. The problem is always us. We end up sitting there and say, God, when God, when? And why God, why? And I've been praying for this, or I've been hoping for this, or I've been looking for this. And why haven't you delivered me? Why haven't you set me free? Why haven't you provided for it? And like I tell you all the time, I don't know why, but I do know this, is when it does show up, it is always in God's perfect timing. Amen? Now, usually if we're honest with ourselves, when we look back on it, we usually figure it out. And we're like, that's exactly what he was doing. That's why he was waiting for that. Because he had to work something out in me. He had to change something in my spirit. Amen? I don't know about you, but it's kind of hard to figure out God's timing. I've been trying to figure out for a lot of years. I'm always trying to figure out, like, God, when do you want me to do this? Or how do you want me to do this? Or is it time for me to do this? Should I change this? Should I move this? Should I be a part of this? You guys with me this morning? That's good. Sometimes you guys look at me like I'm deer in the headlights. Pastor Jay says, no. When they look at you like that, it's because they're soaking it in, man. And I always wonder, I'm like, is it because they're soaking it in or because they're completely lost? So is it soaking it in? Okay. Amen. You know, what's funny is this morning before church, God gave me this message. And for some reason, I was just kind of unsure. I was like, I'm not sure if this is of God. And then Pastor Jay opened up service today, and he's like, God, and he said, God's plan is perfect, and it's always at a time when he knows or something like that. And the Holy Spirit went, whoop, and went through me. I was like, boom, it's a message for today. It is a message for today. I know that some of you are probably dealing with this right now to understand where God's timing is in your life. When it comes to big decisions in our lives, we have to believe and understand that God's timing is always perfect. Amen? And Jesus demonstrates this for us. Even now, he knows perfect timing. Can you understand this, that Jesus arrived at the most perfect time in history? Some people ask and they say, well, how come Jesus arrived 2,000 years ago and not now? Well, one of the biggest things that was happening during this time is that there was literally one ruler over the earth right now. There's only one political ruler. And so when Jesus arrived, he didn't have to worry about what countries that he traveled to or what cities that he traveled to. As Paul went out and did his missionary journeys, there wasn't the same international boundary lines that kept him from being able to spread the gospel. God knew all of these things. Amen. There was really a time of discontentment in the hearts of the people that were there, and they were looking for really deliverance, not a political deliverance, but actually a social deliverance from the oppression that they were living underneath. And this was a time that God perfectly knew for Jesus to come. Now, the second part of this is that Jesus knows the right plan. He knows the plan of salvation. He doesn't not only just know God's timing, he knows that the plan that God has will not be a plan that people will fully understand. Oftentimes, God's plan, or the way that God does things, is a way in which we do not completely understand. Amen? Man's mind thinks a certain way, and the way that we think it should happen is never the way that God says it will happen. Not never, but usually. I love this part of the verse where Jesus is tangling it up with his brothers, and they're encouraging him to go and make a public spectacle of himself. That's what they're saying, man. Go down, man. Go down. Just do the thing with the fingers that you do, man. Go heal some people. Go walk on some water. People love it. Because in their mind, they're like, large group of people. You want to have a large influence? Go down there. Do the big show. Light bulbs and let's go. But here's what's interesting. These brothers who didn't believe in him, that's what the verse says. His own brothers. Now, I identify with that. I think sometimes my brother, while he loves me and he kind of believes me, he's not a believer, man. He doesn't believe in Jesus. And so He, much like Jesus' brothers, don't have a firm belief in him as Messiah. And so they thought the best plan was for Jesus to go to where the most people were and do the big show and draw a big crowd. But they only saw Jesus as a means to their own ideas of public influence. It's interesting. Sometimes people that don't even believe in you, but you have influence, still want to be a part of what you do because they want to be a part of the influence. They don't really want to be a part of what you're doing. They just want to be part of the entourage. Right? They just want to be part of the big show. And really what these brothers are saying is, let's use the approach of the world to accomplish God's ideal. Because they're thinking with worldly thinking, right? If you want to change the world, if you want to be the Messiah, be public about it. Don't be silent about it. Don't be secretive about it. But Jesus' plan is not the plan of the world. It's not the way that he gets things done. And so as you are going through sometimes, you're wondering, why is God having it do this way? Because sometimes God doesn't do things the way that you would think that he would do them. Amen? Amen. The approach, honestly, it's not unlike many churches today. Many churches today want to spread the gospel, but they want to go about it in a very systematic business-like way. It's true. It's called the church growth movement. And I'll tell you, as a guy that came from the business world, I have never doubted my ability to put butts in the seats, man. Never. I can sell anyone, anything, anytime. I can coerce. I can influence. I can leverage. I got some skills, man. And once people are here, I could use guilt and coercion and all these other things to get people to stay, make people feel bad. A lot of churches do this. You can send out a bunch of mailers. You can have some big fancy events. There's a very clearly distinct plan within the church growth movement to get your church to grow. And here's what's interesting is they make good sense, right? What's wrong with drawing a crowd, right? There's people that need Jesus. Shouldn't we draw a big, huge crowd and convince people that serving God is like jumping around on a bouncy house? Hot dogs, man. That's what brings people to Jesus. Usually you give them an Oscar Mayer, and then you're like, hey, man, you know God wants to fill you up? And they're like, that's good. The problem with that is, though, is that you do that on a Saturday, and then they come in on a Sunday, and they're like, man, where's the hot dogs in the bouncy house? It's like, no, man, death to self. That's what we sell here. What? I wanted the cotton candy, man. I don't want to get crucified with Jesus. And that's really the mentality that people have sometimes in this world is let's do things that make sense in our own eyes. And it's really like the arguments of these brothers. It made good sense in their own eyes and the eyes of the world around, because the truth is they didn't see Jesus as any different than themselves. They didn't see him as Messiah. They didn't see him as Lord. They just figured, you know what? This guy wants a crowd. I know how to draw a crowd. Go down to where the crowd is. Do some fancy stuff. People will be impressed. Had they accepted that Jesus was Messiah, they would have realized that God had already outlined a complete program of how the Messiah was to get things done. God knows. It was all in the Old Testament. All the prophecies, all the things that Jesus was going to do and how he was going to go about his ministry, it was all there. The church, honestly, it has the same problem today. We always think that we have to help God. We have to, right? Big plans and big processes, and it's the only way that God's going to accomplish his ideal. Do you realize that God cares more about this church than we do? God cares more about this church than we do. And so what happens is that we get these big grandiose plans of how we think that things should go, and we fall into this trap of thinking that we have to utilize all the busy approaches of the world. We have difficulty understanding that God has already told the church how to work and has outlined these directions for us plainly in Scripture. Do you know what the church is supposed to do? Here's what, actually, the church being you, okay? You need to discover your spiritual gifts that God's given you, okay? Amen. Okay. Then you use those spiritual resources in the presence of Jesus. And then you go out and love people in your neighborhoods and your homes and your families, wherever you're at. That's the way the church accomplishes its work. Sometimes people say to me, well, Pastor, how come your church doesn't do a bunch of outreach? Like, what are you talking about? You do outreach every single week. And if you're not, then you're failing God and his church. Amen. Amen. That's a good preaching right there. See, in the world's view, it would make a whole lot more sense for us to do an evangelism event. The evangelism event is you. 365, man. 24/7. It's not the church's job to create these events that are big and huge and flashy so that the rest of the world comes down and is amazed by our ability to be able to have a spotlight down on West Valley Highway. It's completely contrary to the world to think that a church could grow simply by you living out the gospel in your everyday lives. Come on. It's crazy talk, isn't it? One of the greatest way that the local church grows is by your life being changed by the truth of the gospel. And you go back to the dark places of this world and they look at you and you're not coming in with your Jesus shirt on going like, hey, you sinners are going to hell. I got saved this weekend. And people look at you and they say, man, something is different in your life. What is it? And then you, I was a sinner in need of a savior. Amen. Healing line at lunch. God's plans are always different than what the world would expect. We can have a plan to do things the way that the world does or to do them in a systematic, business-like fashion, but God's plan is not always going to be the way in which we think that they're going to happen. Amen? Jesus knows the right plan. Now, here's an interesting part of this verse, too, is that do you realize that Jesus knows the right answer? He does know the right answer. His brothers, who don't believe in him, tell him how he should go about his business, and Jesus kind of busts on him a little bit. I like this verse. He says, the world cannot hate you, but it hates me because it testifies that I tell them that they're evil. Do you know why he says that the world doesn't hate his brothers? Because they're already part of the world. Why would the world hate itself? They love the brothers because the brothers are part of the world. And so Jesus says, listen, they're not going to understand me, but they do understand you because you're part of the world. Of course the world loves you. You're one of them. Jesus tells his own brothers that their problem is they are for the world, not against it. The right answer to these guys that thought that Jesus should do things a certain way is that they are of the world. So they want to do things the way the world does them. And the answer is to do them the way that God wants to do them. God's ways are not always the ways of this world. Amen? We do not need to do things the way the world does to achieve the things that God wants us to achieve with this church or even in our lives. We will do things God's way, not the world's way. Amen? So what does it mean to you? First off is this. Wait on God's timing. Hello, Pastor Jay receives that. Amen. Nobody likes to wait, man. It is of the utmost importance that you learn to wait on God's timing as Jesus did. Do not get ahead of God. Amen? Oftentimes people are so consumed with the getting it done that they haven't even spent the time praying and asking God what they should do and how they should do it. God will give you a word and say, I want you to do this. And so what happens is as soon as you get the word, and then you're like, amen, well, no reason to wait. Let's start now. Let's get out there and do it. Haven't prayed, haven't reflected, haven't allowed the Holy Spirit to speak to you the plan of how He wants to do it. You just get out there ahead of God and start doing it. Has anybody ever done this before? It's good. Again, I'm looking for, make sure you guys are picking up what I'm spelling. I remember when the Lord, some of you may not know this, but the Lord told me that I was going to be a pastor when I was 16 years old. I know for some of you, you'd say, well, how's that possible? I don't know. It just was, man. 16 years old, and God said I was going to be a pastor. That the fruition of that happening when I actually became a pastor didn't happen until I was 28 years old. It took 12 years. And I remember when Crystal and I, when we got married, we knew that God had brought us together to be pastors, to plant a church. It took 5 years for us to actually walk that out together. And I remember when we got back from Egypt, and we were like, hey, man, God said church, let's start one. Dude, it's horrible. We spent so much money driving all around Pierce County because we were like, we're going to buy a house, we're going to have Bible study in our house, we're going to start this church. That's what everybody else does. You know, that's what you do. You find a dozen disgruntled people and put them in your basement and start a church. We put in offers, literally, we put in offers on probably at least like 10 or 15 houses, man. Like full price offers. Like, and I don't know if you know much about real estate. When you put in a full price offer on a house, you get it. Like, that's what you do. And we still didn't get it, man. And I remember it so clearly, man. I was talking to my friend Corbett, who at the time wasn't a pastor, now he's Pastor Corbett. I was talking to Corbett, and I was like, man, I just don't know what's going on, man. Every door's been shut. And he said, how much have you been praying about this? I was like, man, that's a good question. He said, why don't you do this, lunkhead? He said, why don't you just stop? He said, instead of driving around, why don't you just get on your knees and start praying to God every single day? Ask what He has for you and how He's going to do it. And it was interesting. I don't know, man. As soon as we stopped and just went before God and started praying, things started happening. Alexander, sure, we'll forsake all and help you start a church. Fullerton, sure, we'll forsake all. You know what's so funny? Then, when it actually came time to do it, I was scared. When it finally came time, I remember I wasn't supposed to get out of the Army officially until the middle of July. But I was on, they call it terminal leave, for 4 weeks. So I just wanted to chill, man. I was like, I earned this. And I remember Jay says to me, he goes, man, what are we waiting for? Let's start now. And I was like, no, I don't think it's the Holy Spirit. It was just that I was scared. Most churches that start the way that we do don't make it. You don't get, you know, six people that don't know no better to go out there and meet in some school. It just doesn't work. Like, statistics say that we should not have made it. But that's what God told us to do. So said, all six of you get in a... Like, I tell people all the time, man, I wouldn't have gone to my own church. Yeah. Like, God bless the Hudspeths, man. You guys realize that they've been coming here since, like, month two. Through thick, through thin, through everything, man. And it had to be the Holy Spirit, man, because I wouldn't have gone to my church. Listen to me singing worship, and y'all even had to sit underneath that, man. You know what it says in Psalm chapter 27? It says, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Folks, it is so vitally important in the things of God to not get ahead of what God is doing. Do not get ahead of God. It's exactly what the brothers of Jesus wanted. Jesus was going to start the plan when God said to start the plan, not before that. And people say, well, how do I know God's timing? Well, first off, you have to be a follower of Jesus. If you do not know God, if you have not received Jesus as Savior and the Holy Spirit to dwell within you, the Holy Spirit cannot guide you. Being a follower of Jesus is so intrinsic to having a successful life. It's why we look so closely at the life of Jesus. You can't just look at the life of Jesus and apply the principles without actually following Jesus. It helps us to discern our own path for our own life, and then we can imitate what He does because Jesus, in His life, wanted to glorify God. So if we want to glorify God with our lives, we imitate what Jesus did. There are a few ways that you can learn to discern God's timing. One of the ways is read your Bible. I don't know if you guys know this, but this thing is meant to be read. Okay? And it's not like in high school. You can't put it underneath your pillow and expect that it's going to soak in. You have to actually get that thing in your head. Okay? The Word has a way of directing your spirit to better discern what the Lord has for you. You say, well, I don't understand. How do I read this thing and it leads me? I don't know, man. I can't explain it. It just does. Okay? You guys know what I'm talking about? You'll be reading that thing and the Holy Spirit will be like, this is for you and you do this. And you're like, well, okay. Godly decisions always line up with His Word. Secondly, pray. Amen. Praying when you're a Jesus follower who is full of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit Himself will speak to you and reveal to you. Some of you say, how's that possible? Well, once you become a Jesus follower and have the Holy Spirit dwell within you, you will experience this in your own life. The Holy Spirit will speak to you in your brain, in your stomach, in your body, and will reveal to you whether you should go, stay, wait, give, jump, sit, stand, sleep, or lay. I mean, it will tell you everything that you need in your life. It's an amazing thing. And it's funny when you're amongst other believers and people will say, oh man, I'm going to do this. And the Holy Spirit will say to you, they're not supposed to do that. And then you say to them like, man, did you pray about this? The Holy Spirit tell you to do this? And they're like, no. They know it. And then they get all upset with you like, why you got to bust my spiritual chops like that? Because you know. There's always a witness of the Spirit. Another thing you should do is seek wise counsel. Listen to this. This is very important. People who have been consistently serving God for an extended period of time, who have learned to discern the things of God, can help you walk out what you're trying to figure out. Did you hear me? Okay. I'll say it again, man. People who have been consistently serving God for an extended period of time, who have learned to discern the things of God, can help you walk out what you're trying to figure out. Okay. When I talk about old people, I always want to use the Thomasers as examples. Amen. Dude, they love me. It's fine. They've been married longer than I've been alive. And serving God longer than I've been alive. And it's a beautiful thing. So if I'm struggling to discern the things of God and I'm wondering if the Holy Spirit's speaking to me, your pastor will ask them. You know, I'm thinking about God. Do you think this is whatever? They've seen it all, man. Every trick, every show, every lever, every pulley, man. And so if you say, hey, man, and now after your phone is going to blow up. Everyone's like, hey, I was just wondering, I should hit his job. Don't inundate the Thomasers, okay? They're mine and Shelley's. They're ours. Stay away. But they've seen enough that they have the spiritual eyes to be able to see the things that are usually of God and usually not of God. Now, I'm not saying that people that haven't been serving, I mean, there's other people in this church that you've been serving God for longer than a weekend, that you know the voice of God also. It's good to seek wise counsel of people that know what's going on. Amen? And the fourth part of it is to wait.
Yeah.
You hear me, church?
Say that again.
In all of my years of following God, I've noticed there's a lot of waiting on Him.
There's a lot.
It's a large part of following God. People say, well, I'm tired of waiting on God. Well, join the club. Okay? Do you guys know one of the biggest things that I want for this church? Does anybody know what it is? Well, I want to go to heaven, yes. On this side of heaven. Does anybody know what it is? It's in my brain all the time. Does anybody know? No. I so want our church to have a better building, man. Right? You guys heard me talk about this. I want a better building so bad. And with a hot tub. And a landing strip for my personal pilot. Amen. And I don't know, man. I don't know why God has us in this warehouse down on West Valley Highway, man. Dirty carpets, no elevator, AC that rarely works. Like I don't know why. But I'm waiting on God's timing on it. And I don't want to get ahead of God.
Right.
And I don't, if for whatever reason, God, please no. If we stay here for like ever, we're no less of a church.
That's right.
You know what it says in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 25? It says, the Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him.
Amen.
Proverbs 21:23, whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. Amen. Shut your mouth and wait on God. Secondly, do not listen to people who don't believe in you.
Yes.
Do you hear me, church? You'll notice in this story, Jesus' own brothers don't believe in Him and are giving Him advice on what and how He should go about His business. But they don't believe in Him. They don't believe in who He says He is and what He wants for His life. And oftentimes, when we're trying to figure out things in our life, we're around people who do not have our best interests in mind. It's the same reason why I use that verse, don't cast your pearls before swine. I do not share the things of God with people who do not believe in God, man. I do not share them with the guy across the street from me. I don't share them with the people that I just meet along the byways. If God has spoken something to me by His Spirit, I will only share it with people that are followers of Jesus. I cannot tell you how many people told us not to start a church. I mean, handfuls. Even godly people, man, pastors that told me, don't do it, man. Well, we didn't listen, but sometimes the things that they say might sound good to the untrained ear. But this is what it says in Proverbs 12:26. The righteous choose their friends carefully.
Amen.
But the way of the wicked leads them astray. The world will tell you things that in the world's eyes will look like, it sounds like a good plan. You should go and do this. You go down and show them your power. You got to go to take this place down or whatever. Just because it may be a good idea, it may not mean that it's a God idea.
That's right.
If you don't remember anything else in this sermon, remember this. I even put it in bold. If you are around ungodly people who make poor decisions, don't even listen to what they have to say.
Yeah.
Do not listen to how to get a job from someone who does not have a job. Do not take relationship advice from somebody who is not in a good relationship.
Yeah.
Stands to reason, but people do it all the time. Do not take advice from people who do not believe in you, that do not have your best interest in mind. They are not leading you towards God's plan in your life. Just like these brothers, they more than likely want to redirect your life so that they can achieve their own goals, not the goals that God has for you. Amen?
Amen.
Lastly, don't do things the world's way.
Amen.
Don't, man. And now listen, don't be all crazy about it. Be like, well, the world drives on the right side of the road. I'm driving on the left. Okay? We're talking in broad strokes here, okay? Follow the law, okay? Amen? Follow the law. To me, the truth is, if I was being honest, can I just be honest? Can I be frank? I identify more with what the brothers are saying in this story. I really do. Because I'm just, I'm a let's go. That's just let's make it happen. But that's not the world. That's not the way that God operates, man. That's the world's way. Power, influence, demands. But honestly, I just don't believe that's usually God's way. At least in this instance, it's not. Oftentimes, the ways in which God will direct your life is not the same ways in which the world will get things done. I love Isaiah 55:9. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. Folks, you don't have to play by the world's rules. You just don't. The world will tell you not to do things that are the way that God has you do things. They even tell you not to be here on a Sunday morning. It's true. The world would tell you you're wasting your time. They would say, well, you don't need to go to church to prove that you love God. And I'm right there with them to an extent. You don't, man. But why would you not want to? Coming to church doesn't prove that you love God. All it means is that you want to be in the presence of His people, be in community, worship in His name. You do not have to do things the way the world does. 1 Corinthians 2:13, then we'll close, says, this is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. When we do things under the power of the Holy Spirit will speak things to us. Amen? And the world won't understand. Sometimes the world will tell you that the world will tell you to do something. The world will say, hey, don't do that or say that, or you need to go down to your boss and make your case, whatever, and the Holy Spirit will say, don't say a word. Don't go down there. Holy Spirit will tell you to give away something that you think that you need. And you'll be like, what? It's true. Holy Spirit will tell you to speak something that no one else would speak, or to shut up when everybody else would speak. You've got to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
God has perfect timing for you this morning. Amen. Would you just remember that God's timing is perfect? God's plan is perfect. You don't have to do things the world's way. Amen?
Amen?
Now, here's one thing that I will say. Would you close your eyes? Bow your heads? Now, here's one thing I will say about God's timing, and it's this. When it comes to deciding whether or not you want to follow Jesus, do you know that God's timing is always right now? Today is the day of salvation. If you're here this morning, you've never made that decision to follow Jesus, would you let today be the day? I know there's always people that just struggle with like fully giving themselves over to God. You've been living on the halfway, thinking about it, but never fully committed to it. You can't kind of go swimming, okay? You're going swimming, you're not going swimming. Either you have a job, you don't have a job. Either you're married or you're not married. Either you follow God or you don't. You can't halfway follow Jesus. He wants everything of you, but you have to give it to Him. The Bible says that we were born into sin, and that without Jesus that we're doomed to destruction. All we have to do is turn towards God, turn away from the world and turn towards God and say, Jesus, I want to receive You as Savior. If you've never done that this morning and you would like to do that, would you just raise your hand and say, man, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to live for Him, whole and completely. Amen. You guys are either all saved or not ready. If there's an area of your life today that you're waiting on God's timing, would you just talk to Jesus for a minute and say, do you want Jesus? I'm going to wait on Your timing. I've been trying to do things on my own, and it's not been working. I'm going to wait on You. I don't know how long I'm going to have to wait, but I will wait because Your timing is perfect. Father, we love You this morning. And God, I thank You that Your timing is perfect. God, I pray that we would be people that were just waiting on You. God, that we wouldn't do things the world's way. We wouldn't get ahead of You. God, we pray for spiritual patience to be able to wait on Your timing. God, we know that when Your timing happens, that it always happens perfectly and that things go much better. God, we commit today to wait on You for Your perfect timing. God, I pray for those people that are here that struggle with that, God, that you would give them the strength to wait on you. God, we praise you, we glorify you, and we lift you up. Powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.